Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Football Land.
Football Land.
We are building a giant football-themed football theme park in Qatar for the World Cup in Qatar in 2022, which this year. Yeah,
I've had a Road of Damascus moment. I've realised that we are actually building.
We are building this. This is the year.
Yeah, I've been
Happy
banging
year.
On about how it's all fiction, and it's not. It's real. It's really happening.
It's really happening. We've got $1 billion minus the money for a laptop and a pen. In my account, it's burning a hole. I didn't put it in an interest account.
No ISA.
I didn't put it in an ISA. It's just in a savings.
I think $1 billion is over and above the annual limit you're allowed to invest. Tax-free.
Yeah, tax-free. So no, I couldn't put it in the ISA. But I did shop around on Compare the Market, couldn't find anything, so no. So welcome, Ryan.
Hello.
Ryan Baxter's here, the intern. Ryan, you've been designing some, prepping some rides over Christmas.
Been very rough and ready.
Yeah.
And also mostly in miniature.
Right.
And that's my...
What do you mean? You've been miniature.
Well,
you went all
have
little.
You've gone all little and had a ride around the miniature rides.
No, I'm sat further away than I normally am.
Yeah.
But that's a question I've got is in the contract, do they have to be full scale rides?
Yeah.
Are we contractually about to actually build a proper park or could we do like.
Little Beaconsfield model village.
Like the Beaconsfield model village park. Because I got some Lego for Christmas, and so I made a few little Lego versions of the rides.
What would you rather have? $1 billion worth of an actual theme park? Or, I mean, $1 billion would get you the most incredible Lego setup, wouldn't it?
I think Legoland's already cornered that market, though, haven't they?
There is a Legoland.
Yeah, but that's full size. We're talking about miniature.
Right. So you want to...
£1 billion worth of Lego-sized Lego would be amazing.
But Legoland isn't just massive Lego blocks the size of bricks. It is miniature Eiffel Tower.
Humans can go on the rides.
Yeah, but the rides aren't made of Lego.
Yeah, they are.
Roller coaster, which where if you crash, it just falls into a billion pieces and people in the queue keep standing on the bits and going out.
Yeah.
Is there a danger that if you bought $1 billion worth of Lego, you would just own Lego?
Yeah, I think that is the danger. And that's what Lego are worried about.
Yeah,
they are worried.
I was going to say.
Okay, lads, let's get into it. We've got a theme park to build. Let's have a jingle.
Let me take your hand. I want to take you to football land. It's built in the sand. And I'll run out of lyrics.
Okay, lads, I have an idea for a ride.
Yeah.
It's actually more of a kind of app / facility.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's called Arsene Wenger's World Cup Mayhem.
Yeah.
All right. So Arsene Wenger, he used to manage Arsenal. And then after he retired from Arsenal, his sole sort of purpose in life is to ensure that there's a World Cup every 2 years.
Yeah.
He loves World Cup so much.
He does.
That he just wants them all the time.
Yeah. He's never been involved in one.
Other than complaining. Complaining that his players come back tired from World Cup. So I don't know why.
They'd be less tired if they did it more often.
Well, I think that he is so kind of bitter about his perceived success or failure at Arsenal that he wants every subsequent manager to have a terrible time and be handicapped by having their players go to a World Cup every 2 years.
So he can shout at them. This is what it was like when I was a manager, even though it's not what it was like.
So I think Arsene Wenger overdoes everything, right? He overdoes wanting World Cups. He overdoes how many players he claimed he could have bought
when
he managed Arsenal. Ronaldinho, like Pele, Puskas, he probably could have bought when he was three.
Pele?
Yeah, Pele.
Yeah, all of them.
Pele, Arrabiata. Every player Arsene Wenger could have bought.
Yeah.
And
I would have loved to have seen footage of Pele having a trial
with Ray Parlour and Nigel Winterburn.
Yeah, but Pele came in like he hadn't bought any new modern sports equipment. He just came in that, in those big old shorts and those really heavy boots,
and he was still in black and white.
Yeah,
with a massive erection.
He can't get rid of that. It's a shame. You would have thought he would have used some of the money that he got from all of the penis pill sponsorships, that he would have put some of that into research to reversing the effects of a penis pill.
Yeah, yeah. At least like tapering it off a bit. But and then like when he was at corners jostling with Tony Adams.
Well, he can jostle at a corner from inside his own goal area.
So basically Arsene Wenger wants everyone to overdo everything. So the simple idea is we hire Arsene Wenger or we get an app. I want Arsene Wenger himself. I think we could probably afford him for about £5 or £6 million. And in turn, that would stop him being paid to bang on about having a World Cup every 2 years. So it does humanity a favour. Anything you want, anything you do in football land, buying a drink, going on a ride, there is a chance that Arsene Wenger will come up to you and make you double it. So you're at a coffee shop buying a coffee. Yeah. If Arsene Wenger pops up and says to you, double, you then have to get either a double shot or another coffee.
Yeah.
So Arsene Wenger walking around the park, ensuring that everyone has almost too much fun.
Yeah.
It raises our profits because, you know, people have to pay twice for a coffee when they just wanted one.
So that will give us £6 rather than £3. Yeah. But we've splashed out £6 million on Wenger. That's a lot of double coffees.
And he's just around anywhere. If you go into the toilet, you finish your business, you come out, he's waiting by the cubicle saying double it. You've got to go back in and try for another one.
Ooh. Blimey. What if you can't?
Well, you're just there.
I guess
that's
you've got to
the
go
downside.
Out and eat.
Yeah, you've got
and,
to go.
You know what I mean? So it's we're not just doubling it. So it's not like you've ordered a burger and Wenger's gone double it. You've then gone to do a dump and then Wenger's going double it. And then you're like, oh shit, I've got to go out. And then you order another burger. But then Wenger pops up again and going double it. So you've had four burgers when you only want to have.
So he's with you all of that time.
Yeah.
The obviously this can be catastrophic for people. Like you're in the international break with your partner.
Yeah.
You've just finished a bit of sexy time. Arsene Wenger pops outside the window, shouts double it. You've got to go again.
Gosh.
It does have its drawbacks. However, I think we build in a mechanism where there's an overheating aspect to Arsene Wenger. He wears his big padded long coat at all times.
Yeah.
So his day finishes when he collapses due to heat exhaustion.
Or when he successfully zips it up. He could be trying to do that all day.
Yeah. So originally I thought this would be an app that just pings in your pocket.
Yeah, that was my question, was how do we duplicate Arsene Wenger?
Yeah, but I do like him being paid to walk around the park. So maybe he walks around, but there is an app as well. And he can only be in so many places. So the app does our job for us as well.
Yeah.
How does he know if you've just had sexy times? Where is his omniscience coming from in terms of the international break hotel?
In the international break hotel, at reception, a receptionist checks whether any couples are there on just a couple's break and not with children, not looking like they're haggard and depressed.
Will you be having breakfast with us? Will you be doing it missionary?
Yeah. And get put in the two-way mirror suites.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And Arsene Wenger will have a chair for him. It'll be like an Arsenal bench.
Well, he was famously called a voyeur, wasn't he, by Mourinho?
Right. Yeah, he was called a voyeur. You're absolutely right. So he can live that to the full.
Which is one step short of calling someone a pervert.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think...
without calling them a pervert.
Mourinho knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But let's not forget, it's not just about sex. It's about, if you've been on a roller coaster... Arsene Wenger just says to you, as soon as you got off, double it, you've got to go back on. So you go to the front of the queue.
So he's just a dispassionate observer. whether he's watching someone on a roller coaster, someone having a dump, someone having four burgers, or someone doing sexy
having
times.
Having a 69, yeah.
It's just the same to him. He's just saying double.
He is saying double. He is Leprof. You know, he is dispassionate. You're absolutely right. If anything, a bit annoyed. But I think the way he keeps going on about having a World Cup every 2 years, there is a slight gleefulness to it. Even like a... Is he a sadist? Is he trying to run footballers into the ground for his own entertainment? Is he...
As a revenge on how his time ended.
Is it a revenge? So, yeah, I think he will be picking out the most awkward times to have to double what you're doing.
Okay.
And he will pop up when you're least expecting it.
One of my questions earlier, and this is even more applicable now, if you come out of the cubicle and he says double, which means you've got to eat more... Does that mean he insists you eat it in the toilet, which I can't think of a less appetizing...
He'll walk around with you. He'll escort you to a burger stall. So he'll find the food that will pass through your system the quickest.
But a more sadistic thing would be to get you to eat in the toilets, because that's the least appetizing place. Imagine having like a little table with a tablecloth just by the
like
the
a French gingham tablecloth with a candle.
Yeah, and a violinist, why not?
He was quite hot on player welfare, though, wasn't he? Mm. Yeah. I guess he revolutionised how people ate. So maybe he would insist on it being very nutritious food.
Was it him that outlawed fruit juice?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, no fruit juice, no ketchup. It would be fibres.
That was Ragnarok.
He'd give you...
Ragnarok.
I think everybody's jumped on the no ketchup. You know, I wonder if you could circumvent those rules with like a chutney, like a tomato chutney.
Tomato salsa.
So my question is, how do we stop people getting wise to this and circumventing the rules? So if I've heard, I'm on the internet, so I'm going to Football Land, and I've heard, there's a little subreddit kind of like, right. And it's going, beware Wenger double it. I had a terrible time. I was forced to eat way more than I needed to. To do two poos. So how do we stop people sort of being clever, going into the cubicle, snipping off a certain length?
Yeah.
Holding some back.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Wenger going double it, and then sort of very cockily going, sure.
I think with the poo aspect, he has a set of scales and he will weigh it. He will weigh it.
Okay. I think with the scales and the bed, I think we can be cleverer, we can be smart. We've got a lot of money. I just think motion sensors on the beds.
Yeah, motion sensors.
And I think probably a toilet that is also a scale.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, if Wenger is occupying his sadistic side, then if he knows you've snipped one off early, he will deliberately, after you've left the cubicle, deliberately not say double, so you're permanently you're touching cloth for the rest of the day.
Clever Wenger.
Yeah.
And that is... Oh, but then you could go on the Gary Lineker shit your pants, leave the loop to finish it off.
Oh, the rides in Football Land.
So, yeah, that's the idea. Arsene Wenger. I reckon we're looking at £6 million a year for Arsene Wenger.
And it's going to generate more than that.
We're looking at a hefty insurance premium for his heat exhaustion every day.
Yeah.
And we're looking at about 3 to 4 big puffer zip jackets just on rotation.
Well, heat exhaustion is going to kick in the Qatari desert in about 20 minutes. So we're not going to get many hours from him.
No. So if you say that to his agent, you know, £6 million, but you're only doing 20 minutes a day, and we just don't tell him about the heat exhaustion thing.
Small print, risk of death.
Let's do it. Okay, so I think that's all we got time for this facility. It's nice and simple. It brings another face to put on the brochure.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll agree it's worth the money.
Yeah.
So,
I think, I think it's a good time to vote on it. It's a cash cow.
It's a cash cow, yeah.
And we are, I was going to say short of cash, but we're not.
We haven't costed up the other rides.
We've
not
costed up anything.
Let's try and make a profit. Come on. And then we get a bit of money, for goodness sake.
Oh, yeah, I've not thought about that. Yeah.
All right. All in favour of Arsene Wenger's World Cup mayhem, say aye. 3, 2, 1.
Aye. Well done.
Thank you. Thanks. Yeah. Looking forward to I'll give him a ring.
There is a way we can make money. Just keep the billion and don't build the park.
Or make it, like we said, really small.
Yeah, we'll make it really small.
Build it out of Lego.
Footballer.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So I know we've just talked a lot about poo.
Yes. Well, not as much as we would.
Not
it's
as
only
much,
a,
yeah.
It's only a facet of it. Maybe a
regular football and amount.
I'd say it's under the regular amount.
Under it, okay. Okay, well that's good. So that's fine. So, but just don't be alarmed because this ride is called Shit House,
right?
And it is it's a sort of external game or experience in Football Land. It's, at least it starts outside of Football Land. So when you buy your ticket to Football Land on the internet, I think you can maybe get entered into a lottery or there's a little tick button and you can opt into this game.
Yeah.
And it's basically, it's a riff on the 90s children's TV show Funhouse.
Right.
Is that Pat Sharp's Funhouse?
Pat Sharp's Funhouse with the twins. And so what happens is this is basically playing on the aspect of fan rivalry.
Yeah.
But it's taking it to like the next level. So you get paired with another fan around the world and the competition is to ruin that person's life.
Right.
With as much shithousery as you can. Now, Funhouse, the game, as you said, Funhouse was presented by a man called Pat Sharp, who had the most bizarre haircut ever.
Yep.
It was several haircuts in one haircut.
Yeah.
It was sort of like you'd parted a badger on the front, and it was very long in the back, but yep. So long you couldn't call it a mullet. There were sort of trestles of blonde hair. And so I thought, we're a bit short of rides in South America, and probably the man with the most eccentric haircut ever was Carlos Valderrama.
Yeah. Yep.
So I think this is probably Shithouse with Carlos Valderrama. I feel like the South Americans give you a kind of a flavour of shithousery.
Yeah.
They love that down there.
Purely for aesthetic reasons, could we get Valderrama and do a Pat Sharp on him?
100%. I think he's got enough hair there, even in sort of in his elderly years. It's still quite a glorious head of hair he's got.
Great.
And then we need the twins, so probably going to have to be the De Silva twins.
Yes, I was going to say, those twins, I mean, they're not doing much nowadays, right?
They're not doing much. Remarkably, still quite young.
Are they?
Yeah,
where are they now?
Botafogo or something.
In Portugal.
Is it in their contracts they have to play for the same side? They can't separate?
I don't know whether they're both there. I think Raphael's there. But yeah, they're both in that early 30s still. They're 31, they're twins. So yeah, they're both the same age. So I think it is Carlos Valderrama's shithouse with Raphael and... Fabio.
Yeah. Which one was the better one? Raphael.
Raphael, yeah, but better is inverted commas.
Yeah.
So basically, yeah, lots of gunge, I reckon, in honour of Funhouse. There was always lots of gunge. So Funhouse was both physical and a quiz. And I've got the lyrics here to the Funhouse theme song.
Amazing.
And because it does tell you a lot about what Funhouse was. It's wacky, it's fun, it's crazy, it's outrageous.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot of fun with prizes to be won. It's a real crazy show where anything goes. Funhouse. It's a quiz, it's a race, it's a real wacky place. Use your body and your brain if you want to play the game.
Yeah, that was so key. Body and brain.
Body
the go-karts.
And brain. Absolutely.
But also finding clues.
Yeah. You know.
So as the granddad of this triplicate, I never saw Pat Shelton's Funhouse.
Right.
Whoa.
But I feel like I have. Those lyrics are so comprehensive.
It was like a big kind of soft play thing. And Pat Shelton would usually come in on like a bicycle or a motorbike, and then he'd just leap off it and let it freewheel out. Ghost, we used to call it. Ghost in your bike. And then there were a first couple
Even if it was a motorbike, so the crew had to get out of the way.
Yeah. Children in the studio audience.
I have no idea who's catching that bike, but yeah, full on. And so the first couple of rounds were physical. Usually, like, there was gunge. There was, like, you put in a cupboard full of balloons. That balloons had gunge in. You had to get stuff out.
Yeah.
So I think you're probably doing that. You're finding your reciprocating, fan, your enemy, and you've got to ruin his life. So you're probably putting gunge in his petrol tank, gunge in his, closet.
Closet. Who wanders around football land with a closet?
No, the first part of Shithouse is outside of football land.
Ah, okay.
So you're tracking down your opposite number.
So you've got to get a plane ticket to somebody's house. You're assigned someone to... Yeah. You know those people who play like hide and seek with their friends across the world? So you're assigned someone's address.
Yeah.
Like, way against GDPR rules, by the way. Like, data protection, that's a problem.
You've ticked in.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. And you are... only the person trying to fuck them up, or is there someone also trying to fuck you up?
Yeah, you're trying to fuck each other up.
Oh, you're trying to fuck each other up.
And Carlos Valderrama judges who has fucked each other's life up.
And Pepe, we've already got Pepe as the...
No, now Pepe, probably the biggest act of shithousery in Shithouse.
Oh, he's the boss.
We're not letting Pepe have a go.
Oh, he'll hate that.
I know.
He will hate that. He's going to curl one out on someone's windscreen in frustration.
He will shit himself with anger.
That's
cruel. And brilliant.
It's also not fair because he's like going to be the master
champion. Champion player.
If we're looking at football shithousery, it's mostly the kind of getting in people's face for a penalty. So maybe you bide your time, you wait for your opposite number to go for a job interview right at the kind of like moment they're about to go into the job interview. Just get up and whisper in their ear and go, "You're not qualified for this position."
so
you've lied on your CV.
We're going to see shithousery of the utmost intensity.
So we're going to see people come into football land. We'll be able to tell who's been partaking in this game because they'll just be broken.
Broken.
They will be unemployed. Employed.
Broken.
Their partners will have left
and
them.
And the other way you'll
be able
to know
gunge.
Is that there'll be a big fanfare because so there's two rounds. So remember, Funhouse, it's a quiz as well.
Yeah.
So I think first round is shithousery, try and ruin each other's lives.
Sure.
Carlos is gonna
judge.
And I think you could employ the help of probably one of the De Silva twins.
Yeah.
Because you might need a bit of help.
Right.
And that they kind of...
Maybe they could assign themselves to each person. A bit like, on The Apprentice when like Karen Brady's just watching disapprovingly.
And the twins always had pom-poms and stuff. So the De Silva probably have pom-poms and cheer you on, unless that's going to spoil your ruse.
Who were the twins in the original?
They were just two blonde twins, and they were cheerleaders. Because you had a red team and a blue team.
Okay.
And they were assigned a team.
Yeah, that's right.
And then, so that's round one of fuck up each other's life. Carlos Valderrama is going to go, you've got the points for that. Second is a quiz, probably a really boring, nuanced football quiz that's like so just pedantry, like to the extreme.
Why would anyone opt in for this?
Well, maybe they don't know. It sounds fun. initially, do you want to get opt in for Shithouse? And you, yes. The third part is the race.
Yeah.
There was always a go-kart race around Funhouse. So I think that's real life, probably in the streets of Doha.
Yeah.
And you've got to collect those tokens and they give you more time. I can't remember Funhouse. Who cares? Not like my entire ride is predicated on knowing anything about that show. So you do a race, and at that point, whoever is losing, we take their actual house.
Yeah.
And we move it to football land.
Right. Brick by brick.
Yeah. So you have a home advantage because you know the layout of your own house.
Okay.
For that period that it's there, you don't have a house at home.
Right. So anyone you've left behind to go to football land are just homeless for the duration of your stay there.
Yes.
Would they get advance warning, or, you know, would like the teenage son be woken up one morning by a load of diggers?
Yeah, 100%. I don't know why we would give them advance warning. That doesn't sound in the spirit of shithousery. So then you've got the final rumble in Funhouse.
Yeah.
Where I have no idea what happened at the end of Funhouse. I know you went into a funhouse. And I know that in popular culture most funhouses are quite macabre. So I think at that point it gets really quite dark.
Right.
And potentially murderous.
Wow.
I don't know.
Gosh. Did the real funhouse show you what happened, or did these kids just go in and stuff happened and they came out looking shell shocked?
They were trying to get stuff.
It would have been much better with the twins consoling them.
They arrive at football and broken. Their house is there, mostly broken because it's just been uprooted. And most people don't live in a house that can be very easily moved and air freighted. There's going to be problems.
Especially if it's like the middle flat in a three-story building.
I hadn't accounted for that, but even better. And then it's a rumble to the end.
Into each other's houses?
No, just the loser's house.
Oh, right.
Currently losing, so you have home advantage.
So you go in and smash their whole house up.
I don't think you smash it up. I remember Funhouse, you had to get stuff. And so I think at this point we maybe park the shithousery. There's been enough at this point.
Yeah, and it's just...
you've got to collect tokens.
Right.
And maybe like one of the bonus tokens. No, let's keep the shithousery going. One of the bonus tokens.
You've been through all this and then, the final round is actually quite polite.
It's quite pleasant, yeah. Maybe the boss token that you really want to get is that you get to keep the house.
Okay.
So if it's your house, then you obviously really want that.
But you've
token.
Also got your upstairs neighbours who wanted no part of this. They don't know why they're in
they're
Doha.
They're just on the roof.
They're just looking out their windows going, what the hell is going on?
They're on the roof of the second floor apartment, which is their floor, just going,
why
has happened? But all the time of which, you know, Pepe's probably padding around like furiously. And so there's that aspect to it. And there's a winner and a loser.
Yeah.
And it's probably who has the most tokens or if whoever finds the boss token. And so I think that, like I say, home advantage is your house. Yes, it's been partially destroyed, but you know the hiding places. You know where you keep your passport.
Yeah, you
know where you keep your tax. Passport. You know, that not your P45, the other one, the end P60.
Yeah, SA-102
all of that
whatever.
Stuff, right? You know where all of that is. So
Wouldn't you have your passport with you if you're in Doha?
Possibly.
Not if your house is coming with you. You're like, where's my passport? It doesn't matter. It's been transported along with everything, including my cat.
You go through the security check at Doha Airport in your house.
Yeah.
Put your house on wheels.
So you got your passport. Yeah, it's in here somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think you know where stuff is most likely to be hidden. I think this might be my most tangentially football ride ever.
Yeah, but at least you've got the Fabio, you've got De Silva.
But it's very, there's lots of football-y stuff littered around it.
Yeah,
and it's in the spirit. I think there's a lot of football shithousery that you can do, the tripping up, just the innocuous stuff, the little tug of a hair.
A neck-high, two-footed tackle.
Smash up their conservatory. Yeah.
Yeah, which happens a lot at football games. somebody's brought their conservatory. It's on the bench.
We're going to fuck up your conservatory.
and that's shithouse. And I think that we... we're almost, we've, I feel like we've invented a genre of new rides.
Yeah.
We've got Dublin's Holmes
on the Hammer. Yeah.
So I think
which became something homoerotic, didn't it? With
yeah,
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
Probably. And yeah, so I think there's almost like, we need one of those rides in each confederation in the park.
Yes, yes, fair enough. Well, this is comma bubble balls.
So I think I'm going to go away and start thinking about other house related, like the Conca-calf version of this is going to be like, is mega easy because American houses are so flimsy and so movable.
I mean, they're on wheels, aren't they?
They're on wheels. I mean, what's that about? Also, they're either on wheels or stilts.
They have light switches inside the bathroom.
Oh,
like
yeah.
proper light, you know, flicky light
not
switches.
Worried about that.
Not even worried about electrocution at all.
Mad. So yeah, so I think we'll probably push this shit house as far
as
we can.
Okay.
So all those in favour of shit house with Carlos Valderrama and the De Silva twins being allowed in football and say aye after three. One, two, three.
Aye. Well done. Congratulations,
great.
Ryan.
Good. I like it. And I think this is mostly about ruining Pepe's life.
Mm. Mark, you have a ride idea. What have you got?
I do. So I have see no medieval, hear no medieval, speak no medieval.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mouthful.
It is.
I mean, I was kind of inspired by the genius Viz strip Medieval Knievel. There was a rubbish strip, but it was just a really funny title. Of
what font size are you looking for on the brochures for that bit?
I think as big and as gothic as we
as
can
get
it.
As it can fit on A4.
Yeah.
You want that gothic-y font as well, don't you?
Yeah, definitely.
It's got the fancy M's and stuff.
Oh, yeah, with like monks doing hand-drawn, hand-painted each brochure. It's mass-produced, the brochure, apart from the M on each medieval there, and then we get a team of monks just doing like 8 years
we've
of...
We've not got monks in football. Like
we
that,
haven't got any monks. Gary Monk... could lead the team.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So it could be Benedictine monks led by Gary Monk.
Gary Monk is
and
in charge of the M's on.
Yeah. He has to communicate with them without speaking.
Yeah.
They've got to be silent. We'll be like, lads, we'll go to wherever a monastery is and say, lads, put down your weird honey making and mead.
Yeah. Why are you beekeeping?
It's like, yeah, what are you doing in there, lads?
Can you be a monk and not be into beekeeping?
Can you do some calligraphy like you used to?
Just on the theme of the vow of silence,
right?
Like being a monk, you're trying to be the best person you can possibly be. Or nuns, Carmelite nuns, for example, have a vow of silence.
Yeah.
Are you really the best version of yourselves if you break wind but you don't say pardon me?
Oh, that's really
true. Are they allowed to say pardon me?
And is your wind allowed to be loud?
Well, it's speech that's not allowed. So, I mean, does that...
But what
can
if they start
hum?
Communicating through their bums?
Yeah.
Oh, they do humming and singing, don't they?
Yeah.
Because for some reason that's allowed.
Can you do beatboxing?
They let themselves have a lot of, like, stipulate, you know,
and there are
loopholes, don't they?
There are some trumps that do sound like you've said something.
Yeah.
Because I did one the other day and, you know, my wife went, what? And I went, no, that was the trump.
That was just the bum talking.
What?
What would that have said?
Have you got any milk? Maybe it was just like maybe she was talking and then I broke wind and it sounded like not sure about that. You know, type thing.
It's true though. You would learn to communicate via bum trumps.
Yeah, you would.
A bit like Morse code.
We've really got to clamp down on that when they're doing the calligraphy. I don't want any windy pops in the actual font stenographizing area.
Can you imagine Gary Monk delivering that sentence? No windy pops here. I just can't see him
he'd
saying
that.
He'd
give them a really stern talking to. But in a nice way, he's very
if he's one of the monks, he can't.
Oh,
He'd have to tell them, you can't do this by doing it with his bum.
And just like he's waving his hands in a cross sign.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay, yeah.
So medieval football, as the name clearly implies, is one of the origins of the beautiful game are not properly understood.
No. And
I'm going way further back in time than when association rules first formed.
Yeah.
And even then, there's some doubt. Trinity College, Cambridge was possibly the first time it was codified.
Yeah.
But then rugby also, before the game rugby, they also were one of the first to codify the game.
Yeah.
But it had existed since medieval
Always
times.
Always a pig's bladder.
Always a pig's bladder.
I've never seen a pig's bladder, but is it spherical and like, you know, one of those soft volleyball type ones you get in PE? You know, those pink volleyballs that are not hard. They're very soft and you can sometimes play football with them, but they're very soft. You might play them in a game of break time football in the playground.
I imagine it would go quite crispy.
Right.
Is there like a salve that you'd have to apply to?
And do you have to blow it up with a straw and then tie it?
Well, yes. One part of the research for this was how they made the pig bladder balls.
Yeah.
And they would inflate them. It just says an inflated pig's bladder.
So they'd inflate them, then tie them. And then that would be...
Well, there's also a description of that would then be put inside a bull's cod.
Ooh.
And I think that means a testicle. Doesn't it? What is a bull's cod?
I don't know, is a bladder going to fit in a bull's testicle? I know bulls have almost unnaturally big genitals, but come on. Do you have to inflate the bull penis as well? Not the bull balls?
I mean, maybe they got that the wrong way around. Maybe you inflate the bull's testicle and then you put that in a sheep's bladder and then you inflate that and then you tie it all up.
A sheep's bladder now? Is it a sheep or pigs?
Because
it's got to be halal actually because this is in Qatar so we can't have a pig's bladder.
Yeah.
So it's got to be something a sheep.
It's got to be a sheep's bladder cows. They have four stomachs, but how many bladders do they have?
Well, if they've got four stomachs, surely they could give us one of them.
Yeah.
You know, each cow donates a stomach.
I think a cow's stomach is quite big.
Four stomachs. What are they doing with those four?
They're chewing the cud.
Grass. Yeah. It takes quite a lot.
Four stomachs. So does a tiny mechanism inside the cow's insides choose which stomach is going to go into? They look out there. No, that one's full. Use number two. Like you're a car park attendant.
Yeah,
a National Trust
in
property.
In their throat, cows have a little tiny man that's directing the traffic of food. It's like, move along into number three, please. when you were saying it only has air inside it, some of the medieval accounts of kickball or whatever they were calling it, they added quicksilver inside before they sealed it so that it would bounce and roll in an unnatural way and enhance the enjoyment of the game, the unpredictability of the way the ball behaved.
It's a bit like a Mexican jumping bean, those things that you used to shake.
Well,
I remember a toy I had called a googly ball.
Right.
Do you remember that?
No.
Where it was like a football, but it had a weight in it.
Ooh.
Clever.
And so it didn't behave like a normal football. It looked exactly like one, but you kick it and it would wobble in midair. And you didn't, like as a goalkeeper, you didn't know which way it was going to... It was like the ultimate swerving in midair, but it could do weird things in midair. Oh. So I think we incorporate an element
sure.
of that.
Yeah.
What is quicksilver?
Mercury, right?
Mercury, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So they're just killing themselves.
That's weird.
Yeah, really weird. Really weird.
Yeah,
where'd you get mercury
kicking
from?
Kicking a sheep's bladder around is really healthy.
In Lincolnshire.
Well, kicking a disemboweled sheep around is really healthy.
Yeah, you're putting in a bull's testicle. They lick them all the time.
Well,
bulls lick that. You know, that's really clean.
Oh, no.
Okay, sorry. Go on. Let's get to the bottom of what this ride is.
You've got over here. You've got medieval people. You know, blown into a pig's bladder,
stuffing it with mercury,
and you've just got the French kind of watching us from the distance, going, why is they wasting all this food?
They're just
their mouths are salivating and they're just thinking, oh, what a waste.
What a waste.
What is wrong with
these? So if there was an international fixture back in medieval times, the French would just eat it.
I think the French were just watching and just being like, lads, I think we can invade. I think they are not as clever as they look.
We have a tasty treat for when we meet.
Yeah, exactly.
If you like quicksilver.
Go on then.
So... the rules of medieval football are really quite unclear. It was played by whole villages against another whole village. And one of the quirks at various times seemed to be you get points if you kick the ball into a church balcony.
Yeah.
It seemed to be the kind of the most sacrilegious thing you did with it was encouraged.
Right.
I mean, there were great violent... mass events.
It was kind of one end of town to the other type thing.
Yeah.
Trampling gardens and...
take this ball from this town and score a goal in the neighbouring town.
Yeah.
And they will try and stop you. So I think because we have six federations, are all six represented?
We all are, absolutely. I mean, Oceania Town is a bit of a kind of, Mad Max.
And it'd be great to get Antarctica in there. as well.
Yeah, they don't fare that well, do they, in world football?
It's time to bring them back.
Yeah.
So are you suggesting that the whole of football land has a mass game of football?
Well, originally I was thinking, yes, one day a year we play medieval football.
Like the old Shrovetide games.
Yeah, which still goes on. Even though they're regularly outlawed because people... one of the rules I read as well was... anything is fair game apart from manslaughter or murder. That was out of order. Yeah. So this is weirdly one of the safest games or rides or experiences of football land, in that if you kill someone, you are red carded out.
Right. Yuri Geller's going to have to explain it away if you're
airlifted out. Yeah. Originally it was a six-pronged, you're assigned a federation as you buy your ticket or as you go through the entry turnstile. And there is a inflated pig's bladder in the centre of football land, and it's just a free-for-all. You're trying to score. And then I sort of got stuck in, what are the rules of six-sided football?
Yeah.
How do you score a goal?
Yeah.
Or is it about not conceding? Well, is it about protecting your own federation?
In the Shrovetide games, it's whoever is holding the ball at the end is the winner.
Wow.
So whoever...
It's handball, surely.
Of whatever the team. Yeah, it's very weird. The Shrovetide games are... It's more a bit like... So the one that they played near where I grew up in Atherston, I think was called Bawley. And it was a giant ball that they threw out the window of a bank. Boarded up the whole street. Blokes that used to work with my dad would come in the next day with all sort of like broken bits.
Yeah.
So it's whoever's got hold of the ball at the end, not just a hand on it.
Yep.
Not that. You've got to have it in your grasp. So that's very easy. If it was a kind of a day-long thing in honour of the kind of Shrovetide.
Wouldn't that end load it, though? You'd have, like, if the park's open for 10 hours, you'd have 9 hours, 50 minutes of people just conserving energy.
Underestimate people's enthusiasm.
Can you just get on a roller coaster with like 3 minutes to go, and then you're just, no one can take it off
that's
you?
That's a very good strategy.
Unless it's an individual roller coaster, someone could...
I'm trying to rack my brains to see if there's any individual roller coaster. Shrug it off. Maybe the keeper one. The goalie coaster.
I mean, to be honest, if you're getting on any ride,
Roman Abramovich's runaway minecart.
Yeah, I think if you're getting on any ride with the ball,
it's going to be very difficult to take it off.
Very difficult.
Maybe that's outlawed. Maybe the day that we play medieval football, none of the rides work.
Well, one of the theme park attendant, like, helping you onto the ride, putting the security harness down, can then, like, once you're strapped in, can then just rip the ball out of your grasp, can't you?
And so
just,
staff like, are allowed to play, you think?
I think staff can alter the game if they want. If he rips it out of your grasp and then boots it...
I mean, alternatively, rather than... Because you're not allowed to kill people, it doesn't mean that you can't kill yourself.
Right. What a loophole.
So I think there should be extreme
jokes
danger.
Jokes on you, football lad.
This will show them.
I think there should be extreme danger in this. I think if you really want to win this at the end of the day, I don't think they're strapping you into a roller coaster. I think you're jumping on it as it's going past.
What's the prize for winning?
You've won.
You get to eat the pig's bladder.
I think it'd be like you could have a night out with Steve Stone. Have a nice night out with Steve Stone.
Yeah. He's medieval.
He's like, he reminds me of a sort of big pig's bladder.
Yeah, his head did look a lot like a big pig.
Yeah. And he'd be just a nice guy to hang out with at the end. I think everyone would be happy. Because you could ask him about, you know, like, what was it like to play in the second tier, but also for England?
Yeah.
No, not many people do that.
He didn't play very often for England.
No,
but he will embellish his story, won't he? He'll tell you he did a lot.
You just have to have a really kind of like quite.
Maybe it's not the bull's testicle, it's Steve Bull's testicle that we use.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Bringing it full circle.
One of the other ways of playing the game, like the title "See No Medieval, Hear No Medieval, Speak No Medieval," implies it's clandestine.
Right.
You don't acknowledge that you're playing it, so it's about smuggling the pig's bladder somewhere. So it's about identifying. Right, you're carrying a pig's bladder underneath your coat, even though it's hot in the desert, and you smuggle it to someone else.
That's in a little bit in the spirit of those fake bellies that were very popular in the sort of late 90s, early 2000s.
Gaza had one.
Well, not those.
Oh.
Jimmy Five Bellies was real.
Yeah, but Gaza had that plastic one, didn't he?
These are the ones that, to get alcohol into grounds.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
The skinnier fellow of the group would wear a
big kind belly,
of like a bladder on his belly, and with a little straw.
If you win by ending with the bladder, that might mean that a lot of just larger people get attacked because you might mistakenly believe they're hiding a pig's
people
bladder.
Just going around whipping up people's shirts, going, "Oh no, sorry, sir." It's so, that's a bit like the "Are you pregnant?" question, isn't it?
Exactly.
It
is. Are you hiding
a clandestine football?
Yeah. So I think it's got to be more of a kick bollock scramble in the spirit of the original village versus village.
I like the idea of, well, we've got Terry Venables every day at 12.
The wrecking ball swinging through.
Maybe he could be holding the pig's bladder.
That's
and
good.
He sort of drops it into the to the football land. And so at the end of the
sings,
day...
Oh, for that one day a year, he sings, "We're all going England crazy, but in medieval."
Why
in
does it have to be one day a year? I think it can be every day. It's just part of the park. It's just...
Yeah, why not?
Whoever's holding that pig's bladder at the end of the day, however you get to, you know, whatever your tactics are, whoever's holding it at the end of the day, 6 p.m. is when we close.
Yep. Is it?
Night out with Steve Stone,
yeah.
Yeah.
Motivation enough.
Oh, yeah. That would be wild.
Shall we vote on it then?
Let's have a vote. Yep.
Everyone in favour of medieval football being part of football land, say aye after three. 3, 2, 1.
Aye.
Yeah, that's... And I love it when you see a monk in the street.
So do I. You see a lot of nuns. You don't see a monk often.
Not many monks. I did see a monk last month.
Wow.
And I did point and say monk.
Yeah,
I felt really embarrassed.
We've got a monk who lives near us, and it's weird. He gets out of his whatever he's got, a Ford Focus, and this full on Benedictine monk gets out.
Oh, we give thanks for football land. We would go there, but there are too many sexy rides and a lot of poo. Right. What a lovely, lovely time.
Lovely.
Coming up with three new rides.
Yeah.
We've got plenty new celebrities to help. You know, we've got a stenography system to write the brochure.
Yeah.
And we've got fun.
I don't think you can
for people who don't like roller coasters as well.
I don't think you can describe sort of Carthusian or Benedictine, kind of calligraphy as a stenography.
No.
Isn't stenography quite quick? Aren't there those?
They're going to have to be quick if they're doing every single brochure.
People that sit in those courts with like lots of weird things and they do that weird.
Oh, yeah. It's typing, isn't it?
It's typing.
Maybe they could
be
doing it.
All they're doing is just fisting a typewriter. Yeah, and it comes out as gobbledygook every single time.
I'll tell you what, we'll give each monk an etch a sketch.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
To speed up the process.
I mean, in the 21st century, are we really relying on actual brochures?
Well, that's good for the monks. They don't have to do as many.
It keeps them out of mischief.
But if we get them to do every individual web page that the PDF that gets downloaded, they can do it on Microsoft Paint.
So the web pages are scanned in, maybe.
Yeah. Every single time
you've got to keep
someone downloads that PDF. Yeah.
Have you ever been to a Microsoft Painter anywhere in the world where there wasn't a brochure display? Still, there's still a brochure
it's
display.
True.
Yeah,
very
everywhere.
True. Yeah,
a lot of leaflets, especially in Wales.
A Sea Life Centre.
Yeah,
yeah.
A farm where you can milk a cow.
Yeah, some kind of like local dance.
Yeah, a local dance show
with awful music.
Yeah,
like kind of like a lute and that kind of some. They'll find some medieval guff. So definitely brochures, I think, are key.
Okay, yeah.
Key.
Well, you've got to keep the monks occupied. Once you get a load of bored monks, they go apeshit.
They will have an orgy.
They will.
And we've got to keep them
if there's
true
a hole,
to themselves.
They're
going to
be filling it. It's
okay.
All right. Joining us,
do your stuff.
Rate us and send us jingles and ride ideas. See you next time. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.